Boys, episode 63 of the Motorsport Republica podcast. Welcome.
Hey, what's going on, boys?
What's going on?
Probably one of the most anticipated pods for a long time.
Probably ever.
Ever, because we have some huge breaking news on MotoGP. Obviously, we had an awesome race with F1 Canada last night. So, yeah, super excited to get into it.
It was good to finally have a good Formula One race for once.
Yeah, that's all right.
We just missed out on the big news last week for the pod, and we've been inundated with messages all week.
Inundated.
People just want the inside word from the MR team. So,
and our opinions.
We are going to give it to them. As always, we are proudly supported by MJ Trading Cards, started by a great mate of ours, Mitch. Guys, get on board. Simple as that.
That's all right.
MJTradingCards.com.au, biggest sports breaking card business in Australia. Use 15% off for your first order, MSR15. Just great community.
MSR15.
I
like it.
It's just a great community. Just jump on board, guys, if you're into that kind of thing. And if you want to start out, you know, with a couple of packs here and there, you might score a very rare card and be a rich man overnight.
That's it. Might get a bit lucky, eh?
That's all right.
That's it. So we are going to jump into MotoGP first tonight because there's such big news.
It's massive.
And we just have to, take it apart and talk about it. And it was a bit of a surprise for all of us.
It was such big news that Daniel had to fly 2 states away and have a holiday just to recover from all the news.
It was. It was massive news.
You're as tanned as Jorge Martin now, I reckon.
Yeah, finally I had his skill on a bike and probably the money that he's getting with his new contract.
So let's go through it, boys. So the breaking news first was Martin to factory Aprilia.
Yeah, which was about 3 hours after we filmed our pod.
Legitimately.
And then that was very unlucky for us. But then obviously Marquez then signed, 2-3 days later?
2 days later.
2 days later to factory Ducati, which is wild. I think the biggest thing is if someone said to us, you know, even a week ago, a couple of weeks ago, that Jorge Martin was going to sign to Aprilia, we're like, nah, no way.
Yeah, it's and it seems to be Bastianini signed with KDM, but no official announcement just yet.
Correct, yeah, with Tech 3, we're moving away from Gas back to an orange bike.
Yeah. What do you know why that is?
I'm not sure, to be honest. The only thing I was speaking to someone about is it could be that the bike's good and they want KDM at the forefront, not Gas beating a KDM.
Yeah.
So either way, they're sort of winning.
Interesting.
With a KDM. Yeah. But I could be totally wrong.
Yeah,
that's just an assumption.
Makes sense.
Daniel, we spoke briefly before the pod on this sort of, not rumor, but how the whole contract came about with Marquez. And it sounded like Martin actually signed a contract with Factory Ducati.
Yeah, so I've got it up here.
And I don't know this. This is the first time hearing about this.
So he had signed, but there was a clause that if Marquez had won this year's championship, the decision is reversed.
Wow.
Marquez
gets
the seat over him.
That's such a rude clause, though. That's so rude.
And it could leave it to the last round as well. That's the other thing.
It's 100%. That's so uncertain. And everyone else has got to make their decisions and have their
Where would Jorge Martin go then if he loses his seat straight away?
Stay on Pramac again.
You know what the other thing is? That confirms last year's rumour of if Martin won the championship, he would have gone straight to that factory Ducati.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, they had his suit there ready.
I was going to say they had his leathers ready to go.
I feel for Jorge Martin because I feel like this whole thing has just been rough on him when he realistically couldn't have done any more.
You could see in that photo, he just looked like so disappointed that he wasn't wearing the factory red.
Yeah.
I'm all for it. I think you and I had picked him for Aprilia Tom. So
standard.
It's still a shock though. Even though
it is.
I had said that, I was like, nah, this dude's got to have the factory Ducati seat. It makes the most sense.
I think we all agreed on last week's pod that that's what was happening. We're like,
and he's probably signed while we were talking about it.
Like, now back to that rumor. I heard that actually Marquez blocked that contract. So that was the rumor that I heard, that Martin signed with Ducati a clause with Marquez if he win the championship, and Marquez said, no, that's not what I want.
Let's have a look what I've got here.
We need thinking music.
Oh yeah, Martin accepted the terms, but Marquez did not. You're correct.
So that's really, really interesting that obviously the power of Marquez, I mean, how much does that show?
And then they obviously would have panicked as well when he said, well, Primark's not an option.
Yeah, that's all right. I think he's a really, it seems like he's a really smart negotiator and uses the media to his advantage.
Played the trump card.
Of course. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, of course. And then the photo he put up with the factory pilot, the Oakley factory pilot shirt, that was well played.
That was very well played. I was like,
you know what, fair game.
But Marquez deserves it. I mean, I know Martin, we say Martin.
They both deserve it.
They both deserve it. I mean, Marquez is once in a generation rider, and he's never had a chance of riding on that team. And I think it's an exciting prospect anyway.
It's if it's for us as people that want to create, I guess, content out of it.
Oh, it's amazing.
There's the Liberty Media and Marc Marquez riding for the factory Ducati probably is the two biggest things you could get.
And Bagnaia and Marquez not the best of friends either. That's the other aspect of that.
Yeah, true. But with Bagnaia, it seems like he's taken it all. Kudos to him, like in his stride. I don't really think he cares.
He doesn't.
I think he's backed himself.
Doesn't show a lot of emotion, I suppose.
No. Well, exactly that. Mm. And at the end of the day, he's an employee anyway. Yeah. So whether he likes it or not, it's up to management's decision, and he's got to live with it. So
I want to know, boys. I want to know. This is Marquez's decision, especially for you, Daniel. I want your bias thoughts on it. Your ultimate bias thoughts, and then your non-biased thoughts about what will happen
next year.
Yeah. And just for this whole situation.
I know where you're going to come from, but Marquez is going to win the championship next year.
Okay.
He has to. And if he doesn't, it's his reputation ruined forever. Okay? You hear that?
Yeah, I like it. I like it.
Clip that, Curdy. Sexy boy.
Look, my biggest thing is everyone was like, oh, no, Marquez is on a Ducati this year. He's going to come out. He's going to smash everyone. He hasn't won a race yet.
Yeah.
Like, Martin's proven himself time and time again last year, this year. Yes, I get it. He's an eight-time world champion. He can bring a lot to the team. From a bias point of view, I don't want him on that bike.
Mm.
Not at all. I don't think that just, for me, it doesn't sit right.
Yeah, like, of course.
It's going to look strange, isn't it?
Good friend of the pod, Lukey Luke, sent me a text message straight away and we were cursing the decision. But non-bias, it'll be a good battle.
Yeah.
But I truly believe he will not win the championship.
Mm.
Mm. And if he was coming onto this bike that's a championship winning bike, the 23 spec that he's on, he still hasn't won yet. Like, how... I think the GOAT debate's over as well. Because Rossi went to a bike that was dog shit and won a championship and brought him up to glory.
Mm.
Marquez on a proved bike hasn't won a race.
I think I like what you're saying, but I think it's 20 years is a long time. It's 20 years and it's changed.
The field's probably more stacked now.
No, yes, but I think as in it's almost more rider than... it's more bike than rider these days. As in, like, you look at Bezzecchi's results, Marquez's results, like, it's... If you're not on the GP24, you're not winning a championship.
Bez is nowhere, but I wouldn't even bring him in.
Yeah, I get it. But I just think, it's a GP24 or it's nothing. It's a long season. We could all be eating our words and Marquez could still win races and win a title.
There's no doubt he'll win a race. He's got to win a race. But I honestly thought it would happen by now and it hasn't.
Yeah, same.
But like I said, non-biased, I think it'll be a great season. It's going to be awesome for the sport. Yeah. It's going to bring so much more eyes. And Liberty Media takes over what year again? Sorry?
I thought it was next year.
Yeah, I thought it was next year as well.
It is, isn't it? Yeah. 1 year before the rule, 2 years before the rule changes.
It's perfect timing for them.
Yeah.
So they'll make this come out amazing.
Hopefully a Netflix series and then
you'll
get all the teeny boppers following MotoGP.
Yeah. But from that point of view, yes, it's good for the sport. What it's going to do for him and his sponsors, though, that'll be strange. Because I think he's Red Bull, Oakley.
Yeah, there's a lot of different ones.
They're Monster, Carrera.
Samsung, Lenovo.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of...
There's six different, as we spoke about on the pod with number one, Daniel's mate, Danby. But it's going to be interesting, and I think it's exciting for us. And like I think the other thing is it's exciting for Martin as well to go to a whole different team. They're going to build a team around him as well, where he would have always been second fiddle to Bagnaia going into next year.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
So it could work out. Like they could build an amazing bike for him next year, and it could be an amazing decision. But at the end of the day, his first choice was the factory Ducati.
Yeah, 100%. I think it's everyone's first choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think with him on this Aprilia next year, we'll really show how good this bike is.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's what I'm excited about.
What about, just changing scenes, what about Bastianini on the KTM? I'm really excited about that as well.
Yeah, I don't mind that.
Yeah.
I think it'll be a much different riding style compared to the... Well, I really wouldn't count Augusto Fernandez, but the three that are on it that can ride really well on it, his riding style is completely different. So it's got the top speed. It seems to handle really well, especially when you're pushing it hard. He likes to push it hard, but he's also really good at nursing those tires. So
for sure.
It'll be an interesting combination. But again, that's just all word of mouth.
Yeah.
He could still end up, he could end up as Martin's teammate.
Yeah. That's all right.
Potentially.
No one's signed yet, so. No.
So that team could be a dream team.
Yeah.
And I think Ducati's dropped the ball, to be honest. They've lost, if they lose Bastianini, they've lost two great, young, talented riders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or they've just gambled. They've just put all their chips in with, obviously, Bagnaia and Marquez.
Aldeguer coming in as well.
Yeah. But, yeah, jury's out on him.
Yeah, true. Fraud yeah. Watch? Surely not.
Yeah, nah, he's Moto 2 fraud watch for sure.
Whoa, okay. Fair enough. I agree.
If you're Jorge Martin and if Bastianini leaves, especially Jorge Martin, like talk about for the rest of this season and then next season, the amount of motivation you're going to have to prove Ducati wrong. So like imagine if you take the number one plate to Aprilia.
That's unbelievable, actually, thinking that.
And I hope he does.
Oh,
that would be great.
And
how good would that be?
That's legit.
He's leading the championship on a non-factory team.
But okay, this has to go back to last year. There's got to be some favoritism now towards Bagnaia, new parts. Surely he's not going to get the same benefit.
True, yeah. That always happens. They did that with Lorenzo.
They'll hold off on some stuff, I think.
Goodness. Which sucks, man. Like, you want them on equal... bikes, that's the thing.
But they're going to be close enough, I reckon, anyway. Like, really.
Yeah. Don't know.
It's going to be...
It's like his tyre, like, magically went to Qatar last year. Like, it... Can't commit, seriously. What do you mean?
Yeah.
GG Galeno, buddy, look, clicking his fingers.
There's so many things you can take into account. Yeah. If you look at the championship standings just from a race perspective, he's so... Well, I don't think he's so far behind, but he's... a lot further behind than I think what Pecco currently is now with both put together. And then vice versa, if you look at just sprints, he's miles ahead.
Yeah.
So there's still a lot that he's got to work out properly. We've seen with the tyre gamble at Phillip Island when he was trying to come back through the pack in Qatar, you know, he's just got to iron them out. Still a long season to go. Yes, he looks like he's more polished, but when it comes to the pointy end, will he be?
There's a long season.
A lot of pressure.
So anything can happen with those three riders. Really.
Maybe this might unleash him though. It might take the weight of, you know, the world off his shoulder and go, I'm going somewhere different next year. I'm not fighting for that factory seat like I have been the last 2 years. And he might come out and absolutely dominate the rest of the season.
And it's a very scary prospect if that happens.
Bagnaia looked bloody good though, didn't he?
It's the brakes almost coming in an unfortunate time for Pecco though, as in like he's got all this momentum and then we're going to Assen in 3 weeks, whatever it is. I reckon if you're Bagnaia, I think, oh, just give me like two more rounds because he's right there. Like he's the most informed rider. Mm. Like Marquez is like there and then Martin's had that one off, but I think the pressure valve's now being released and it's going to be a very interesting end second half of the season, I guess you could say.
100%, man. I'm really looking forward to it.
It doesn't get any better.
It's going to be great, but...
It's got a lot of races jam-packed in a small amount of time. Like, we talked about the biggest season ever, but there's one race in 6 weeks. Yeah. But that second half of the season looks packed. Like, there's two triple headers, I think, as well.
Mm.
So we're going to have a lot to talk about.
Oh, 100%. I can't wait. Anyway, it's just good for the sport. It's good for us. There's a lot of talk. It's almost put the pressure valve off us a little bit because that's all we've been talking about is Marquez and Martin and Bagnaia. It's like, it's done.
Still so many pieces of the puzzle though.
Yeah,
many teams have got open spots.
Repsol Honda, where Miller's going to go. Yeah. I mean, it's all rumours at the stage. But
So with onto Miller, KTM has offered him Gas or Tech 3, whatever it is.
Okay.
And he's weighing up his options on what he wants to do.
Fucking hell, he should have signed already, I reckon.
Yeah, I think so.
He did come out and say, I got the quote here.
So they're going to get rid of Augusto Fernandez, which is stock standard.
He came out and said, I didn't sign up to this project to leave after 2 years, though. So he has been offered the Tech 3 seat. Tech 3 seat. So I reckon he's going to take
that. Man, KDM, I know Miller's having his struggles, but KDM having those four riders, fuck, that's four good riders.
Four great riders.
So Bastianini, if he goes, Miller, and then you got the young gun, Pedro, and Binder. Like, that's a fully fledged.
It's a great team.
Four bikes going into next year, and they're all got experience.
Who would you rather, Bastianini on that factory bike of Pedro or Binder?
No, Binder. I'd rather Binder.
Bastianini.
I'd rather Bastianini.
Really?
Yeah, I rate him
young, more. Young team.
Yeah, I know. The thing is, though, they can't. Like, they have to reward Binder for his efforts. Bastianini hasn't lit up the house on fire.
Yeah,
so,
but what if it's a what if it's a Binder port to
the
table?
He's done nothing this year, nothing the second half of last year, nothing.
Mm.
I mean, he really dropped the ball last year.
I think
there's no way they will put Bastianini in that factory team, though. Absolutely no way.
Look,
unless he comes home really strong and
crazier things have happened, and look who's riding the factory Ducati next year. Like, let's be honest.
True.
It's very true.
But that wouldn't even be that crazy compared to Marquez signing the factory Ducati anyway. But.
Well, you can reward loyalty, but loyalty is only going to get you so far. But that's loyalty is not getting you results.
And I think they're starting to learn that.
I think so. Yeah. You know,
but we can't deny Binder's talent.
No, of course,
he's got talent, but
massive fan.
And what he's done the first half of last year, the year before, I think he had some good races the second half of last year. Valencia crashed from the lead, didn't he? So, but I mean,
okay, name a memorable race besides Austria from Brad Binder.
Thailand, I think he finished second.
The one with Martin.
He was fighting for the win. Yeah. He could have won that race, but.
Really got to think about it, though, don't you?
I was pretty quick.
Not quick enough.
When I think of Brad Binder, but I think of when he used to carve through in Moto 3 from the back of the grid towards the back of the grid. Well. He did more. Like, people might come at me, but I think he did more there than what he's done in GP.
Yeah, look, and he came in the GP as well, where the bike was probably underperforming as well, and he helped develop it to where it is, which is awesome, but. Like, he's not cutting the mustard either.
We're quick on the podcast, aren't we? Quick to just nail you down when you're not performing.
But it's been a year and a half, though. Like, seriously.
No, we're not a year and a half. We're only six races in.
No, but from his performance.
Mm.
True.
So he did nothing last year?
Nah.
All right. Well, we're harsh but fair. I mean, that's what we're all about, aren't we? There's no grey areas here.
I think it's 2 years without a win for him.
It's something like that. He's had a few sprint wins and that's it. Yeah, it's over 2 years.
Yeah, the sprint wins. Yeah. Yep.
I'd be putting Bastianini in Costa. That's a great team.
Disagree.
If Bastianini goes.
Yeah, that's right. If. Big if.
But I reckon this... I'm not too sure because Maverick Vinales has reportedly been offered 10 mil to go to Honda. 10 million euros to go to Honda. And I reckon, and they reckon it's not a done deal, but it's 80% there.
Take it and run.
And then that's probably why Bastianini hasn't signed for KDM, because there's that spot open for Aprilia. And then there's your Italian dream team there.
Yeah, that's right.
10 million euros, Maverick, Honda. What do you guys think?
There was some news out with Vinales, and they're going to build that team around Martin. And I assume they want an Italian rider in the Italian team.
Of course.
Two Spanish boys. So, yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Repsol Honda, $10 million. Fucking, what do you do?
Of course you're going to take it.
Mm, you're guaranteed not to have a win for three seasons.
And maybe be paralyzed.
That's the other thing. That's a good point, though.
It's dangerous. It's a good ride.
Ryan Mears' confidence. You could push him over like this. I reckon. He'll just fall down.
As soon as you lift a hand.
But he's 26 years old. He's a world champion. He wants to retire because the bike's so shit. That tells you everything. So sad. You know? Marini, a star, not a star, but very good rider.
Mid-pack rider.
Finishing 40 seconds behind the leader and stuff. Like, it's. I don't know. You're better off on a Moto2 bike.
They're in a world of hurt.
Yeah.
But man, if you're Maverick, you're on your way out. And I personally think you're on your way out anyway. Take the cash.
Yeah.
Take it and run. Look what Fabio's done.
Yeah.
He's lucky he's young and he can set himself up this way and then go still find a team. But for Maverick, what? Let's be realistic here. What's he got left?
You know, maybe
a year.
We get a lot of comments about Maverick, don't we? On Insta.
Yeah, we do.
There are a lot of Maverick fans out there.
I know. We get crucified for it, but you all don't know anything. That's the problem.
Y'all
don't know anything.
We're the proper armchair experts.
Yeah, we're the proper armchair experts.
So halfway through the season, are we going to redo our 2025 predictions for the grid? Because I don't think we've got one right yet.
No.
Oh, we got ours.
Yeah, you got a
Prelia. I think we've got a couple, you and I.
Okay.
I think we got a few of them right.
I think I'm on zero for five.
If you take away all the writers that had already signed, we've got a few right, I think.
Yeah, we're pretty good.
Yeah, we are.
I'll take it back.
Yeah, you guys.
James could redo his.
Yeah. Thank you, Jim.
Sorry. Well, someone's got to think outside the box, you know. Sometimes it doesn't land.
Yeah, true.
Got to throw shit at a wall sometimes.
Yeah, it's all right.
let it stick.
Yamaha and Pramac.
It seems like it's a done deal, doesn't it?
It's still going around. So obviously when one of the guys from Pramac came out and said that they're staying, it wasn't signed.
There's a meme going around, it's like more Benelli standing there.
Oh,
it's
my God. Pramac,
the Ryan Reynolds one?
Yeah. and Morbidelli's finally doing good. And Yamaha's just knocking on his door again. His leg's finally healed.
That's the best. He finally got out of there and they're siding with him. That's hilarious.
Hey, he might fall up. Factory Aprilia, watch out.
Bro, Jesus. You know what? Don't even say that.
But then, okay, let's just do a hypothetical. Primax signs with Yamaha. Who's riding on that bike next year?
I don't know, man. My brain's not even working.
Because Aldeguer's not can't go there because he signed with Ducati.
Correct. So he'll be at either Gresini or VR46.
Surely Morbidelli isn't going to go.
That might be his only option.
Maybe. God, he'll kill himself.
That's not as bad as the Honda. Let's be real.
Yeah, it's not as bad as
Honda. Nah,
Trin seems to be staying on the bike this year. Like, not as...
It's surprising for him.
I don't know. Alex Pins.
Maybe someone from Moto2. That might open up another opportunity for someone to come up.
Yeah.
Because no one will want to go on that bike.
Nah.
Mm.
So, man, it's... I can't see Pramac moving away from Ducati, though. That's... For me, that's more of a...
Has Pramac ever not been Ducati?
For 20 years, the last 20 years, they've been Ducati.
They sponsored a two-stroke 500 Honda bike. Back in 1999.
Before Ducati was even there.
Yeah, before Ducati was even there on the two shows. That's my autism kicking in right there.
Who owns the team? That big Barry looking guy.
Yeah.
So what's his, he looks
like a big wog rich dog, that guy. He's so cool.
So Primax a business, obviously.
It's a generators.
But they sponsor the team. They don't own the team.
Correct.
So I mean it's no
They just love like a they just love Ducati, obviously.
Yeah. Is Primax an Italian?
I assume so. My mate, remember Marlon? Shout out to Marlon. His dad worked for Primac, and we got to eat lunch with the Primac boys.
That's hectic.
Yeah, I got into their box. It was pretty cool. I had no idea what it was until I spoke to him. And he was like, yeah, it's his generators. My old man works for a generator company and flicked out all these passes. I was like, beautiful.
Mm, take that.
Yeah, bloody oath.
So that's interesting. I mean, I hope it happens, to be honest.
Yeah, it would be good for the sport.
Yamaha need another bike.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So and then we've got Gresini, you got VR. That's still six bikes.
That's still plenty. That's much more of an even spread.
Yeah.
So then VR gets the factory bikes.
Yeah.
Or one to VR, one to Gresini. They would probably, get both.
VR will get both.
And then the VR boys just stay in the same spot and get the factory bike.
Yeah.
And then Aldeguer to Gresini with Alex Marquez, we assume.
If Marquez stays. Yeah, he's not lighting the world on fire, but he's on a Gresini Ducati, like.
Yeah, no one's lighting him. Yeah.
That's a really tricky one, Alex Marquez.
It is. I really thought he's going to do a lot better. I think we touched on it last episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
But who knows? He might go back to Repsol Honda.
Jeez.
That's a very, very hypothetical thing. But we like a hypothetical.
Yeah, we do. Know? That's all we. That's what we work on.
That's three quarters
of our pod.
That's the concrete of our podcast. Yeah. Hypothetical.
It's clickbait, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're struggling for views. Thanks to whoever commented that.
Yeah. Kawasaki is actually returning in 2 years. Yeah. Clip that, Gertie.
No, with BMW with the new regulations, and it'll become VR46.
Yeah.
And there's no such thing as four strokes. It's three strokes now in the racing.
Yeah, that's right. They're going to make them three cylinders.
Speaking of VR46, changing codes for just a second, we've got Le Mans 24 Hour this weekend, and Rossi is racing for the first time at Le Mans. So
yeah, it's super exciting.
That's exciting, yeah.
And they won last round, didn't they? So
they did.
That's going to be cool for another little reason to watch it this weekend.
Mm.
There's a bit on this weekend.
Well, no MotoGP, no F1, though.
Superbikes.
Oh,
beautiful.
Thank God. We're back.
Oh, man.
Where is it?
Misano.
Oh, fuck yeah. Beautiful. That's nice.
Yeah. So they've done a bit of testing through there. So it should be good.
They do a lot of testing.
We got so much time to film.
Yeah, I know. So much testing.
If you see any
what
of
them. What are they even testing? It's a production bike, basically. Fucking hell.
Yeah. And it sort of seems to be, in the next few years, it's going to really be just a production bike. Yeah.
Oh, they're changing that?
Well, if everything goes ahead with this 800 rule or 850, whatever they're going to in GP, they don't want superbikes to be quicker. So they're going to literally make it like what super stock was back in the day.
I don't mind that.
So
as long as the racing's good.
Oh, the racing will still be amazing. Mm. I don't know exactly what those rules entail, whether it's no engine work at all and you can just do little suspension and...
Are they controlled ECUs as well for superbikes, or are they... Like what MotoGP is?
Yeah, they are. Because they got out of hand for a while.
That's been the best thing for MotoGP, that rule. Changed everything.
That's what brought Ducati back into the forefront, was that control, because that's where the Japanese just dominated of the ECUs.
And that's correct. All the anti-wheelie, anti-ABS, all that kind of stuff, all goes through that one computer.
Yeah, that's like most of your motorcycle now.
Yeah.
Until aero came in.
Yeah.
You know. Last thing, boys, if you guys don't have anything else, but I keep reading that Dovi was looking for a... This is not clickbait. Dovi was looking to have a potential return in MotoGP. Yes. Primac Yamaha, bro.
I did see this.
He's 40. Would he be 40?
That doesn't matter. It's Dovi. He's ageless.
God.
I love Dovi, but nah.
Yeah.
Overrated?
Nah, I think he's fairly rated.
Okay. How can you not like Andrea Dovizioso? He's everyone's favourite.
He's awesome. But... just interesting, like did he win a Moto 125.
He won a 125, then he would have been 250s, so that's how old he is.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he won on a 250 championship, because then he went up to, his first year was in 07 when they went to the 800s, and he had that silver.
Oh, the GIR.
Yeah.
What a bike.
That was cool. That was awesome bike. But I couldn't tell you if he won 250s, because he would have been going up against... Barbara and Bautista, maybe?
Lorenzo. It was all similar time.
Yeah. And that, talk about a stacked championships, that one.
Mm. Correct, yeah. So he won the 04 125.
Yeah.
And he finished second in 07 on the 250s.
Oh, so it must have been 08 he went up for his first year, sorry.
Yes.
Yeah, gotcha.
So it was two. So what is he, 38 then?
Correct, he's 38.
Yeah, because at 18 years old, he won the championship Moto 125.
Quick math. Yeah, nice.
So yeah, that was that. I'm trying to see who he finished second to, actually.
What year?
He finished second to Lorenzo.
Alex in 07.
In 07, 260. Lorenzo finished on 312 points.
07? Is that? Yeah, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
This is your top five for that year. Jorge Lorenzo, Andrea Dovizioso, Alex De Angelis, Alvaro Bautista, and Hector Barbera.
Jesus.
That was prime time 250s.
Yeah, it was prime time 250s.
I reckon that's when I first started watching like MotoGP.
Yeah, on a
weekly basis, or like a roundly basis.
Oh, some good names in there, man. I'm just looking through the list.
Barbera got the rough end of the stick
out of all that. He really did, man.
He got demoted to CRTs. He raced for Primac Ducati back in the days. They should do an episode of them, a homage. Mm. If they leave, we should be doing a homage to them.
Mm.
That's some decent riders.
Johnny Hernandez,
Tony Elias.
I love Johnny Hernandez. He's my favorite.
Ben Spies.
Yeah.
Ben Spies rode for him. Loris Caparossi.
Correct. He did. He ran Simoncelli's number on that bike.
Yeah.
Who else raced for him? Bautista.
Yeah, so like, get the liveries going as well, boys. Yeah. What do you reckon?
Yeah. That was the white and green Primax. Remember?
I remember. I can see it right now.
You're going to give us our MJ Trading Cards Performance of the Week then, young Daniel Brishy?
I will. MJ Trading Cards Performance of the Week, boys. We've gone for Michael Dunlop in the Isle of Man.
Great choice.
Great.
So he equaled his uncle Joey Dunlop's record of 26 wins.
That's a wild, man.
It is insane. And especially these guys, they're racing Super Sport, Super Twin and Super Bike. Like, they're just unbelievably talented athletes, talented riders, and to do what they do and keep coming back to an event that's so dangerous is amazing. So he's currently sitting on 29 wins now.
Yeah.
So he's won.
So he must have cleaned. He must have won four races over the week.
Yeah. So he won.
There's six races in total, I'm pretty sure.
So he won Super Sport Race 1. And then he won. Where are we going?
God, it's that one sport in the world that experience outweighs youth.
I think whenever they say it's like it takes 4 or 5 years just to properly learn the track.
Yeah.
Yeah, he won Super Twin Race 1, which brought him to 27. So technically the GOAT. That sidecar. Davey Todd won Super Stock Race 1.
On the Beamer or something, yeah?
That would have been on the Ducati.
Oh, okay, right.
I think, was it on Super Stock? Oh, no, on the BMW. Sorry, you're correct. Super Twin Race 2, Michael Dunlop won for Victory 28. And then Super Twin Race 2, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't get any more dangerous, though. To win how many times? 29 times, whatever it is. That's just a win. So then you're going to race more than that. And then, like, it's crazy because these guys race year in, year out. There's, like, one or two deaths a year. They normally know the guy, and they keep coming back. Wild,
you just hope that these records get broken and they just go, you know what, I'm happy now. Hang up the boots, but it just they don't work. Their mind doesn't work like that.
Look at John McGuinness.
Yeah,
he's been around for donkey's years, man. He's still going. Peter Hickman, he had a bit of a tumble.
I saw a couple of big offs. Yeah. They had some good footage. Yeah. I mean, not good footage, but they had some footage this year of a couple of offs and like, oh god, you can get so unlucky or lucky.
Yeah,
it's wild, man.
And you got fucking trees. You got trees. You got like curbs.
You know, literally riding past someone's front door.
Yeah. So I think Josh Brooks. He was like up on a curve, somehow saved it, going like what 190 or something. Yeah,
they're nuts.
I just don't get it. I never could understand what goes on in their mind because there's no way I could ever attempt to do that.
Just the experience, like that's all it is.
That's
experience and balls.
It must just have that in such an adrenaline rush.
Oh, it would be. It'd have to be.
I'd love to know what their like heart rate is if they wear like a heart rate monitor.
I don't think they would.
No, I think John McGuinness's training is just literally just drinking Guinness.
That's literally it. That's a cool last name, McGuinness.
Well, on his butt patch is MC with a schooner or Guinness or a pint of Guinness or whatever it is.
But it's funny, like, so Hickman came off in that race. He walked into a pub and just, like, sat in the pub while the race was going. The same with Michael Dunlop throughout one of the, like, practice days. Went into a pub, funny. Got a beer, like, jumped back on his bike. These guys are, like, they're wild and it's awesome to see, but... hats off, Michael Dunlop. Well done.
Yes.
That's performance of the week for us.
MSR 15% for first order as well.
Get on it. And they're getting into Formula One cards, aren't they?
They are soon, yes. Yeah, motorsport cards, which will be the next big thing, I reckon.
We'll jump on a couple then. We should do a collaboration with them.
Like a live break, maybe. That sounds good.
We should do some like player stats for us. We'll get our own cards going.
Yes, David, sure.
Tom can be talking shit 99, throwing shit at a wall 99.
James' eyes darting around 99.
No, nose length 99.
Big dick 99. Minus.
Right you are.
Get on to F1 for Christ's sake.
Well, I want to know your most impressive, most disappointing and your most surprising.
Me first?
Yeah.
Most impressive for me, Mercedes. Because I did not expect them to do anything. They've done nothing all year. And they've come out and got a third and a fourth.
Yeah.
I was just telling Daniel before, I was like, George Russell, he is the opposite of an ice cold man. Like normally David Alonso, like just
end of the race just knows when the he's lukewarm. Like, that's what I was thinking. The man's lukewarm. And then he repassed Hamilton. I was like, oh, okay, maybe he's got a little bit more into it. But normally, like, he just fumbles right at the end.
Yeah, that's true. He just makes too many mistakes.
Yeah.
And it's just that. I mean, he would have won that race. He seriously would have won that race.
He came off in one of the chicanes halfway through.
He did. He would have won that race. That was really, really disappointing. And it's happened countless times. And I was talking to Danby about this. He just doesn't have that extra 5% that some others do. He's got the talent. He's quick. He's quick in qualifying. He's
probably too busy complaining in his helmet the whole time.
Yeah, he's just he was he came out after the race and said, I'm super disappointed in myself.
Mm.
And Hamilton came out and said it was the worst race he's ever.
Yeah, I saw that.
He's ever had. So obviously they had the pace. They just couldn't do anything with it.
They're probably just surprised they're up there again.
And how Hamilton let Russell back through, yeah, which we'll go on later, but unlike that was him. Amazing. It's just such a weird thing to happen. So,
biggest surprise for me, Ferrari nowhere. Like, they had such a good round in Monaco. They were 1 and 3. And then, look, it's Italian cars and like rain with the electrics just doesn't.
No good. Too much rust.
You send out a Ferrari on a nice 30 degree day in Rome or something like that. But, you know, not in Montreal.
Just didn't have the pace all weekend.
No, they didn't.
And to be honest, Leclerc's fighting for a championship. It's super disappointing. He was 30 points behind. Now he's 20.
They got zero points for the. And then that's massive for the team's championship. Yep. And you know how much money goes into that.
Yeah.
Didn't they set almost double that lead as well?
Yeah. So Verstappen's gone from 30 to 55 against Leclerc, and then that's a crazy lead. So.
Yeah, you know, and trying to call back Red Bull as well. Like, if you give them an inch, they take a mile. And most disappointing for me was the rain staying away when Haas was cutting through the field. I was just praying for it to rain more. I was like, I was loving watching K-Mag cut through the field.
But that's where those changeable conditions are so good, because you get to see those minor teams take a gamble and nearly do it. Yeah. I really enjoyed that as well. That's a good, great point.
Yeah, and as we always say, a tie gamble never works, and it never works, and they didn't get any points, but it was exciting.
But they weren't far off at the end there.
Yeah,
they weren't. I mean, it's impressive. They would finish 17th, 18th anyways. You might as well have a crack.
You might as well have a crack, especially in that sport when you know, that's right, you're going to be last almost.
Yeah, that's right.
You are the Saubers.
Mm. Well, for me, the most impressive was, Lando Norris's pace, especially that end of that first stint on that intermediate tyre. He must have just sat back and just waited and kept his tyres, and he was lapping about 2 seconds a lap faster than Verstappen. So he could have, I mean, anyone could have won today, but he could have seriously won that race. He would have won that race if Crash Sargeant didn't do what he does. He crashed 3 times in the race.
No.
Like, it just shows you how less of ability this guy is, and I can't wait till he pisses off and Sainz comes into that team next year.
He's another one people defend as well, Logan Sargeant. I don't understand.
Oh my god, Sargeant got into Q2. Fucking who cares? He's fucking shit. Sorry. Most surprising for me was how Perez has still got a seat next year in that Red Bull.
Yeah.
That is a surprise for me. And
is
he
it just
was
a 1 year contract?
1 year with one more option.
Okay.
So technically,
so 1+1.
1+1, technically 2, but out in Q1, I mean, how many times has that happened this year? He's in the fastest car. He was nowhere in the race. Nowhere.
Yeah.
And just so disappointing, and just no race craft. He doesn't have the perfect conditions, doesn't do anything.
Yeah, it's got to be set up for him, doesn't it?
Bit of a cheeseburger, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
you've been shaved, Perez. You've fucking been shaved. And then most disappointing, just to reiterate your comments, Ferrari for me, lack of pace, double DNF. And then Ferrari putting Leclerc on hard tyres when it started to drizzle.
Yeah.
I mean, at least give him the softs. I mean, Jesus Christ, give him a chance. I mean, it's drizzling. You got no, like, I just couldn't believe that. Like, it was raining. That just shows you how amateur they still are, those Italians.
Yeah,
like,
right.
I just don't understand.
That was just a vintage Ferrari.
It was. And I just couldn't believe it. It's just going back to their old ways again. Like, how stupid that was. But yeah, so I got up and about again. But yeah, what about you, Daniel?
Most impressive was K-Mag on the wets.
Yeah.
That was amazing to watch. Cutting that first through. Lap, I think, what, 7 or 8 positions in a lap?
Yep.
That was really amazing to watch. And man, that for those guys to trail each other in those conditions would be insane.
Some
talk
on
talk
board,
about
on-board
skill.
Footage.
Oh, mate, that's unbelievable.
Mm.
Biggest disappointment, Logan Sargeant. Like, I think that's pretty stock standard.
He's so shit, and he just ruins the races for others as well. It's so weird because you see, I think Sainz, Sargeant, maybe someone else, like, they just kind of touch too much of the curb and then the whole car's just gone. But he just did it like three times.
Like, he like fully locked. Like, I don't know how he even did that. Like, he got, it was nowhere near the braking point, just completely muffed the corner that first time.
Mm.
And then he somehow got out of there. But yeah, anyway.
Get rid of him. Get him off.
Hey, get rid of him. Get Minson off. Biggest surprise was double top 10 for Alpine.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
That's a good one. Yeah.
But as we know, they've been nowhere this year and they've got a lot of dramas, obviously, internally with people leaving and now this whole thing with Esteban Ocon. But
for Ocon had a 5-place grid penalty as well.
Yeah, that's right. So there was a lot of good. I guess that's a lot of good for them for this weekend, so they go away from that being pretty happy. So yeah, that was very surprising to see, but super tight. The race in general, I thought it was really
great
good.
Race.
Yeah,
best race of the year
so far.
Best race of the year, yeah. And 5 different manufacturers in the top 10. In the top 6, I should say, in qualifying was so it is really really competitive. Couple of points throughout the weekend. On Friday, fans got turned away from the gates.
To the weather?
No.
Oh.
The police thought that the whole day had been cancelled.
Oh,
so all the train stations, everything said, guys, it's all cancelled. We're not letting you in. And then they all went home, started to go home, and then they first practice started, and everyone's like, what the hell? So it's a big issue at the moment with F1 and the Montreal police. So really interesting. And I feel so sorry for those people. They were waited all year, bought the tickets, got on the train, like what happened to us in, you know, Formula One a few years ago when it got cancelled with COVID. And they got there and it wasn't cancelled. They were actually in the side of the track seeing the cars go around going, why are you letting us in? So, yeah, really unfortunate for them.
That's so weird.
I know, it was such a weird thing. And how was that timing for qualifying? I mean, Verstappen and Russell the same time.
Identical.
And 0-0-0, like, how does that happen? Like, what's the chances of that happening?
It's only, wouldn't they say it's only happened second twice time. Or
second
three
time. Yeah. And the last time it happened was Villeneuve.
Jerez.
Schumacher.
And France, whatever.
Heinz Harald Frentzen.
That's it.
Oh, you'll like that one, Davey. I have
a German.
It's got to be a conspiracy theory there. How does that, what's the chances of that happening?
Oh, it's
like, I just don't get how that is possible. That it's they're on the same time, but also that it's 0-0-0. Like,
I don't know.
That's crazy.
Do the maths for us, Curtis.
What is that?
Get a calculator out.
And Russell obviously put that lap in first.
What did you guys think of Verstappen? Like, I think over racecraft, he was just so much more patient than he has been in recent years. Like, he was second. We don't see him second very often. And he dropped in
behind. One stage?
Yeah, he dropped in behind. He just kept his tires.
And he made a mistake.
Yeah. Yep. But it was just really interesting. Like, if that was him 2-3 years ago, a completely different animal.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember him in Turkey 2021. He was on the wets. It was a wet race. And just hell for leather.
Yeah.
Span out, kept going, nearly crashed. Like, and it just shows how much more maturity he's got now. But I think after winning a couple of world championships, what else you got to lose, I suppose.
Yeah, and you get older. And I think as well, the strategy was really good. Like, they pitted them at the right time.
They were unbelievable with that.
You know,
mate.
Like, they were just on the ball.
You know what really impressed me as well? This should have been my most impressive, but another impressive was Oscar Piastri. He actually got, the team said to him, are you able to fight for victory? And he goes, no.
I've got more
problems behind me. Concentrate on that. And I thought, like, they were asking him if he wanted Lando to move over for him at the show. He goes, no. Just, like, how mature is that?
I was like, wow, that's...
Imagine if that was Ocon or Gasly or Yuki Tsunoda.
Telling him to move.
Oh, my God. They would be like, yeah, get the fuck out of the way. I'll go. And then they don't do anything. And then, they have to swap back and then it just causes more problems. I just thought that is so super mature.
It was interesting that they said that, though, because he had... Who was behind him? Was it Russell behind him trying to get out? But then, like, there wasn't much leeway even if they wanted to try and pass.
That's right. It would have been a big problem.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
So I think he calculated that really well. And that just shows great trust within the team.
Mm. I think 100%.
It seems to be that McLaren's bridged that gap a little bit more now to Red Bull
as a
overall.
Team.
Yeah, like the team synergy and their drivers, their car, everything seems to just be working really, really well for them.
The second best team, I reckon. on the outside with team synergy and just racecraft almost.
But like, how good is it? You got those top four teams, and then and even Aston Martin, like they're on their tails as well. So
yeah, the sixth and seventh this round.
Yeah, yep. So I'm actually. Do you want to give us results?
Yeah, for sure.
Sorry about that.
Max Verstappen first, Lando Norris second, George Russell third, Lewis Hamilton fourth, Oscar Piastri fifth, Fernando Alonso sixth, Lance Stroll seventh, Daniel Ricciardo eighth, Pierre Gasly ninth, and Esteban Ocon 10th.
Mm. Crazy. Yep. Crazy, crazy, crazy.
How was Villeneuve and Ricciardo about to punch on?
Yeah, I mean, I just, Villeneuve, oh, I just.
Trying to stay relevant, you
reckon? I think so. It's like Kane Corns. It's like Kane Corns. Like, he just says, it's a bit like Tom Chavulak, actually. Just says, he says his outlandish things to get a reaction. And I think
Yeah, you said some stuff over the years.
Yeah, most of them hit, but, you know, some don't. But, yeah, I just, and not needed. Like, in a day and age, I know this sounds a bit corny and whatever, but in a day and age of mental health and all that kind of stuff, I just don't think you could just come out and say that on a race weekend. And on the live Sky Sports, you know, coverage, I mean, I just think it was just too brash and too
harsh. He had a proper crack at him.
Yeah.
He did.
Or you can just choose better words. I don't know. Like, just be a bit more elegant about it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You've got to probably bridge that into a sentence rather than say, you know, why is he still here? Like, that's, I think that's rude. Mm. Personally, and I think, I mean, he showed him, didn't he? He had a great qualifying and then went backwards a little bit in the race. But
leave that stuff up to the podcasters like us. Yeah, we say those type of things.
See, considering he had a 5-second penalty, they're still finishing the top 10.
Yep.
And that's his best result for the year, I think.
Yeah, it was an up and down race. And again, yeah, that 5-second and a harsh 5-second time penalty. I did see the car slightly rolling on the start, so it was a false start, but geez,
yeah, it is rough.
Better than the drive through penalty. That's why the 5-second penalty is great. That's why the long lap penalty is great. MotoGP as well.
Yeah.
Tsunoda, yeah, long time to be on those tires. He went the whole race on one set of tires,
and then almost took old mate. Who was it? One of the Husses out.
Yeah,
maybe?
I think it was Magnussen.
Yeah.
Did well to dodge it,
didn't he?
That was so close.
Even when Russell cut the chicane and Verstappen came through. That was really, really close also. Yeah. There was a couple of them.
I think if that was dry, that Russell would have got a penalty for that because he came back onto the racing line. If you rejoin, you're supposed to rejoin off the racing line.
Correct.
And the other thing was with who did go off on that chicane? I think it was Russell. And, like, you're supposed to rejoin on the left cone, but, like, you can't move in the in the wet grass.
Yeah,
so, like,
it's just going to go on straight.
And I think that what outdid Yuki, because I was looking at the replay of that, and I think he tried to actually go a little bit left to go through the bollard, and the thing just span.
Yeah.
So, interesting. And yeah, I mean, he had a really good race. I think he was up to 7th or 8th.
Yeah, he was top 10. Was. Yeah.
And so disappointing for him.
Throw away your points, I guess, isn't that?
Well, yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. So that's, but all in all, great race. And I mean, we've got a week off now, and Spain's next round. Back to a sort of a boring-ish.
Doesn't
make great racing. Unfortunately.
Good track, that Canadian track. I've got to admit, I haven't watched a lot of racing from there. And it was really, really good track.
Yeah, it is.
I thought it was awesome.
The cars were filthy after that. I don't know if you saw them, but they were just. I don't know, maybe my tears is coming back again, but they were absolutely caked in mud.
The liveries didn't look as good.
No, it didn't. Freaks me out.
Yeah, it didn't.
Did you guys see Albon's double overtake?
That
was ballsy.
It was ballsy.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, if you get a chance, have a look at it. It was really good.
It was a more of a like, oh my God, I'm going to hit him in the back. But that took good driving from Ricciardo as well, because I think Ricciardo saw that happening. And then he moved over more to the right, because that would have been a plane crash otherwise.
Well, that would have been a repeat of, was it Japan?
Yeah.
When they went into each other.
Yep.
Yeah, it was. That was a great overtake. Some little tidbit. And 60 wins for Max.
I know.
Insane.
It's amazing, isn't it?
50 in the last 75 races.
Wow, it's come quick, hasn't it?
And the thing is, like, they talked about Hamilton with 100 wins. And, like, I know it's still 40 behind, but and then we'll see. We'll see what happens in the next few years. I mean, you've got 23, 24 races a season now. It's a lot of racing. So. Yeah. So word on the street is Ocon might have a year at Mercedes, because obviously Ocon's in bed with Toto. So that could be interesting. And then Antonelli, give him one more year in the juniors and bring him up for the new reg. So that could be an interesting thing, really good for Ocon. I mean, that'd be amazing for him, but not probably well-deserved.
Yeah.
Yeah, not quite. I don't think so.
And Sainz to Williams seems like it's a done deal. And I think that's a great team. Albon, Sainz, James Vowles, I rate him super highly, yeah, team manager.
That's good minds coming together, though.
Yep. So and hopefully they can get their act together for the new regs, Williams, and they could be a powerhouse again with two great, great drivers. So.
That'll be amazing to see them back up there.
Yeah. Everyone wants
or
that.
Or at least
don't
in
they?
The midfield. Yeah. More often than not.
Yeah.
Because they've been down and out for 10 years at least.
Yeah. They had the win in at Spain, Catalonia. Funnily enough, I think probably 10, 12 years ago with Pastor Maldonado. And then Bottas had a couple of good races in 2014, 2015
yes,
as well.
Correct.
But they haven't done anything since. And another team that's probably waiting for the new regs to come along. Because it just takes one good design of one, something that someone else hasn't thought of before, and it could 100%. Change the whole thing. Like back when Braun came in and won that championship, they had that rear diffuser, double diffuser, and it just took took everyone by storm. So.
That is a cool part of F1 is the engineering side of it, how it can just make the whole season bring you a championship almost straight away.
You look at Mercedes this weekend, new front wing. Mm. Yes, I mean the wet helped, but they were fast all weekend. They were fast in the dry, they were fast in quali. Obviously, Russell getting pole. So, yeah, I mean, just it takes one big thing to change. And Toto came out and said, like, look, it's not just a front wing. It takes a few things to make a car work really good. They've changed the floor, they've changed the side pods, but they're chasing that time. But it's interesting that, Hamilton just doesn't seem like the same person. So
yeah, he just seems a bit.
Yeah, I don't know. Like if he, I'm telling you, 2 or 3 years ago, he passes Russell, bro, he's gone for the lead. He would have won the race.
Yeah, he would have. Yeah.
Gets repassed. I mean, seriously.
Maybe it's just a different mindset now because he knows he's not a championship rival. He's just there to. I don't know. He's signed for Ferrari. I don't know.
You don't give up a place, but.
Yeah, true. Yeah. I guess not so easily.
And I think he made a mistake there. Wasn't on the coverage because he was like up behind Lando and then dropped back.
Correct,
so.
Yeah.
So you got some hot takes for us, Jim?
Oh, I do have hot takes. Yeah. Far out.
Well, I mean, we get hundreds and hundreds a week. Well, so you have so to, hard, man. You've already seen through them, obviously.
I have. I normally circle them, but I haven't done that, so bear with me. Hang on. I've got a whole lot of cat photos in front of me.
I want everyone's feedback on our new chairs, by the way. They like our new chairs.
Yeah.
We've been spending some cash.
Well, while James is looking for the hot takes, boys, congratulations. 10,000 followers.
Yeah.
As well.
And thank you for now.
Curtis, congratulations.
Yeah, thanks for all the support.
If it wasn't
for
Curtis and the clips that he provides, it would have been a struggle. And obviously, thanks to everyone who listens, watches, gets around us.
Yeah, comments, likes, it. Good and bad. It's all fun.
I mean, not tooting our own horn, but it is an amazing achievement after a year. And we have to thank the supporters and the fans. I mean, it's just amazing.
Oh, 100%. Shit, happy tier. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, and like we do work really hard at it. And
we do.
It's something that we obviously have to balance in our own lives as well. But to have that support and super happy and super excited for the future.
Yeah, it's really fun. And it's cool just to make like a different take from like your usual people that you listen to.
I mean, at the end of the day, we'll be sitting on my couch chatting about the same stuff.
The same thing, it's just microphones.
Well, I didn't even know you, so that's
true.
Crazy.
That is a privilege.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah,
that's what everyone says when they meet me.
Tape short comment. First time you guys met on a casting couch, it's just crazy.
It is crazy.
True, we got to be close too.
But that's how you've got to build, you just got to build the friendship from there, you know?
That's it. Yeah. Just grab them and go.
Yeah.
Cherry, what are you doing?
Yeah, speaking of grabbing and going. Right you are.
At Jared.Madsen. One episode suspension for Tom for his take on the previous pod.
Oh, is that for the deliveries? Yeah, well, any publicity is good publicity, as I say to people.
What do we have here? Sorry.
There's so many, man.
I know. At Jack Giles, Martin is the new Pedrosa. Absolute phenom, but will never win a championship.
Wait, who?
Martin is the new Pedrosa. Absolute phenom, but will never win a championship.
Wow, that's a hot take. That is a hot take. It's yeah.
Martin's better than Pedrosa.
Is he?
From that that killer instinct point of view,
killer
I think
instinct,
so.
Yes.
He's got it. I don't think Pedrosa had
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right. And Pedrosa only won on the day where he had an advantage of tyres and what?
Nah, I'm ready the next one.
Like, I really saw Pedrosa actually win a race on outright pace for the whole weekend. Like, pole and win. Like, I don't think he ever... Well, I don't know if he ever did that. But
it helps when you're 40 kilos. You don't wear the tyres out.
He had some great races, but yeah, he didn't have the killer instinct like Martin.
That race in Misano, I think it was his last win, he came from the clouds. He was like seventh with like 10 laps to go and just went, flicked a switch and won the race. It was one of the best performances I've ever seen. And if we had the podcast back then, it would have been MJ performance.
Right, double up. You can throw it back if you really need
to. Yeah, throw it back.
Yeah, true. Throwing it back to throw it back. I'm gonna go Jack Giles again. He's put in two. Ducati won't let Martin win a championship on Pramac.
Yeah.
They're Italians. They will cheat.
Yes.
All right. Yes. That's Jack. That's racist. First and foremost.
Hey, we're not racist on this pod.
No, we're not racist on this podcast. So be careful which Italians you speak to because you might cop a backhander or two.
Wait, which one's the cheaters? Is it the Southern or the Northern Italians?
None of them.
Oh, damn. Try to catch you out.
Nah. Couldn't do it, mate. Bad call.
@_Jed10 Mark's move to the factory team proves he has the same power that Rossi did in the past.
Yeah, great call.
Yeah,
great call.
Fair enough.
He made that deal his own, it sounds like. He controlled the whole dominoes.
It seemed like it, didn't it?
And I think he deserves that. He has a right for that. So being a 7-time world champion.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But he used the media to his advantage and he's very smart, and Rossi did the exact same thing. He did it against Max Biaggi all the time. @NobGobbler2024
No way. No
James,
way.
James. No. James. 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 That's not a... Oh, my God, it is. Curtis, have you made a sub, buddy? Nob Gobbler.
Why is it you in a fairy suit?
I knew it. I fucking knew it, Curtis. You're a fairy. Did I call it?
Yeah, you did. He's shaking Curtis. His head.
Oh my God, Nob Gobbler.
No, @NobGobbler2024 Martin will struggle at Aprilia and will never get close to what he is now. Love her.
Nah,
I don't know. You know what? It's a big thing for Aprilia as well. Like, because we always say they need that rider on that bike. And if he comes in and he doesn't perform, we know it's the bike's problem because we know how talented he is. Because at the end of the day, Vinales hasn't been the same rider for years. And Aleix Espargaró, is he really that X factor? I don't think so.
No, he's not. That's a tough one.
It's a tough one. @Dat_Shady_V4 He's a bit of a number one ticket holder at the moment.
Can I just have a bit of a special shout out to DatShadyV4? Yeah. He is actually, he could be our first or our second sponsored bike. He's going to put our logo on his leathers, he said.
Oh, what a cool guy.
So he's messaged us during the day. He goes, guys, love the pod. I was wondering if I could use your logo on my new suit livery on the bike. Love the shit you guys are doing and want to rep it.
Oh, what a legend, yeah.
So mad respect to that DatShadyV4, one of the OGs.
Send us through your email and we'll send you through a vector file.
I've got it all sorted. Haven't sent the file yet, though.
You are not the IT expert.
No.
Vector file, what's that?
Yeah, what's that?
This is a good one. You're a team principal in MotoGP. What bike are you choosing and who's on it?
I did see that one. That was a very good one.
Ducati? You'll probably go for a KTM, I reckon.
Aprilia.
Yeah, there you go.
I like that.
No, I go Ducati. It's proven. It's a race-winning, championship-winning bike. I'd put Bagnaia and Marc Marquez on that.
It's fair enough.
So I'd go what the team's going to be next year.
Yeah.
James? So you can call me Tadozzi if you want.
I'll do something different to them. That was my first one, but I'll do something different. I'll go factory KTM and I'll do Marquez Acosta.
Guys, how do we really rate the KTM that highly though? Like, come on!
There's
Binder who you guys don't rate Binder these days, but he is a world class rider and he's done nothing on the bike.
Well, look at Acosta.
I know, but he's a phenom.
Well, you got two phenoms.
I know.
You got two undertakers on that bike.
But If Morbidelli is finishing top six on the Ducati, it must be an amazing bike, I'm telling you that much.
No, he's actually coming into his own, Frankie, but he's got to do it now because he's going to go back to Yamaha. So.
Yeah, that's true.
What about you?
Aprilia.
Fuck, all different answers.
Martin and Bastianini.
Yeah.
Okay, let me ask this question. Factory Ducati 2024 bike or a 2015 Repsol Honda?
It's two different things.
What would you rather? What's a more powerful bike? What's a more dominant
bike? You know
what?
I'm going for the Repsol purely because of the aero. There was no aero.
Ooh, I don't know. I would probably go for the Factory Ducati because it seems more rideable for everyone.
Mm. When's the last time When's the last time someone's won on a Repsol Honda other than Marquez?
World Championship.
A race win.
No one.
Last one was Pedrosa, I guess.
Fuck, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Pedrosa. Yeah, Paul Espargaro was leading Qatar, then Bastianini came.
Mm. I think Alex Marquez led for like a lap on a Repsol Honda once. Yeah.
In
Aragon or Le Mans or something. One of those.
Maybe both.
Yeah, maybe.
He finished second both those races.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Did Alex Marquez finish second in two races on the Repsol?
Two in a row. Aragon and then France. Wet race in
That's
France.
That's impressive.
Danilo Petrucci, the rain master.
Mm. He's looking old.
Man, he's lucky to be alive.
I know.
After that crash.
He weathered as that poor fella.
Well, that's what happens when you do Dakar and MotoGP and Superbikes and whatever else.
He's done a bit of everything.
At JRT900, who will be Marc Marquez's crew chief next year, Santi or Frankie? Frankie.
I'd like to see Frankie go across. Yeah. That's a great question. I really like that.
Yeah.
I think Santi and Mark have done their bit. Frankie Carcetti is a genius.
Yeah, I would have him over Santi Hernandez.
Yeah. Frankie's done it.
Yeah.
He's proven now that he can do it with this Ducati also.
Yeah. He is a genius.
And he's unbelievable.
And Santi was great on the Honda, but I don't even know if they'd want him over there. It's not like he can take much from the Honda there anyway, where Frankie's already been on the Grassini. That's the guy.
Won the championship with Suzuki in
here. Yeah. Yeah,
he's the man.
Right. He is the man.
He's very good. He's been around the traps for a long time. They both have, but I'd be taking Frankie Carcetti any day.
Tough one to read, but I'm going to read it. At @DBernhardt_, Jack Miller will not get a seat 2025 and move on to World Superbikes.
Mm, I did see that one. Well, it doesn't sound like that's going to happen. It does sound like he's signing for GasGas next year.
Or KTM.
KTM.
Tech 3.
And I think he came out and said he didn't want to go to Superbikes just yet anyway.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't even see that.
I think.
Not yet.
Not yet.
You got to wait till you're completely washed up before coming there.
He said not World Superbikes. He said back to ASBK, I think, is what he said.
Oh, it would be a good get for him. Six races a year.
Yeah.
3 month breaks.
Don't even go there. They're still a month away, I think.
Far out. Ain't nothing new. Joe Maranello needs to be on the pod.
Oh,
get him on.
The frog. The frog. We'll get him on. Yeah.
I'm still waiting for me boots.
It'll be a 4-hour episode.
He still hasn't sent me the boots.
Oh, really?
Overpromise, underdeliver.
Yeah,
standard.
That's it.
Oh, this is a good one. At Scott V, could Marini become the first factory rider to not score a point all season?
This is brilliant.
That's a great, great, great one.
Is it? No, so it's never happened. Never not happened. I
guess
suppose.
So. Yeah, I've never taken notice.
That's done a full season. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Not injury. I mean,
yeah, no injuries or no wild cards.
He could. Yeah, he could be. He could be one to.
Oh, he'd slip into a top 15 or something. There'll be a race that goes down the track where everyone falls off.
I was going to say everyone falls off and he stays on. And
that's the only way it's going to happen.
The problem is everyone that falls off is on a Honda.
Yeah, yeah, true. Yeah, you're going to be both. Yeah, true. You're right. You're right.
The people that fall off are Honda riders, or as you said, Juan Mir says, I give up and put the brake in.
He does. I reckon he does. 17 laps. Oh, I'll lose a front end. I'm had enough.
Test the airbag out.
Yeah.
Let me just go watch.
He always
TV.
Seems to crash on the lowest speed corner. I swear to God, like he never has a big off. It's always a slow
conspiracy,
off.
Conspiracy, you reckon?
It is. I've heard it here first. I was throwing shit at the wall for our Spotify comments.
We should get one of those like toy ones so you can actually throw it.
That's funny. We kind of read this one, but I'll read his name out anyway. At Petro Snap 14 will Enea replace Binder? And yes, 100% think that should happen.
No, I don't think so. I don't think Bastianini deserves to go onto a factory, the factory team.
I think he does.
I don't think Binder does.
Mm. Oh, Binder's... yeah, anyway, we already spoke about this, but yeah.
At Jet underscore Sangster, Mark Marquez will win the 2027 World Championship on a Repsol Honda.
Oh, he's going to go back to Repsol, a bit of a fairy tale.
Shit-ass call.
That's a terrible call.
Come on, Jet.
It's not Repsol Honda anyway.
Come on, Jet. Do better.
Yeah, you should have said the Honda factory team. That would have been more acceptable.
Yeah.
Sorry, just to go away from them, who is going to want to sponsor them?
I told you, us.
Why?
We'll give them like...
$6?
$20 or something, yeah. Candy Coke.
Repsol.
Like a large pizza and a handshake. Yeah.
Any chance of a Repsol Ducati?
Nah.
I don't think so.
So where does Repsol go? They're just going to pull a sponsorship for
it. Maybe to like a Grissini or something. Like, you might find them on something else.
You reckon?
But they would have gone to Grissini, wouldn't they? With Marquez there already? Would they have that opportunity? I don't know.
Because Repsol, correct me if I'm wrong, Repsol's an oil, isn't it? Ducati's got
Spanish
Shell.
Oil.
They got Shell.
Yeah.
They won't do Shell.
Yeah, true. They sponsor the Ferrari.
Yeah, that's right. It's all it all ties in together.
Theirs won't sponsor anyone.
Mm, there you go. That's sad, isn't it?
It's very sad. Like a lot of hate for Martin. Yard underscore guitars. Why doesn't the paddock talk about Oliveira fudging his sister?
Oh, wait, what's one of those said things on the pod we talking about?
No, he's talking about the paddock.
Oh, the paddock, yeah. Fuck. Yeah, but they're all envious, bro.
I was just about to say that.
It's the ultimate taboo, isn't it? Far out. Or stepmom, maybe.
Yeah. All right, last one. Rui 25, Nick Riewoldt. Don't worry about Mark on the factory Ducati. Pedro will be the champion on the factory KTM.
Oh, that's too early of a call, I think.
That's a great hot take, though. I like it.
It is. And he'll fight. I think early doors you might find him fighting for it.
Next year's going to be unbelievable.
Next year, I won't be surprised if he's fighting for a world championship. I'm not going to say he wins, but...
Yeah, I think they could be definitely fight for it, but that's probably about as good as it'll go for that first year anyway.
Well, we all said, you two, that he wouldn't even get a podium, I think, this year.
Oh, I did say that. That's a fucking shit-ass call.
Yeah, you called it, man. And he got a podium in his second race?
Nah, third race.
Yeah, pretty good.
It's pretty good.
That's amazing. He is that X factor that once in every 10 years.
He's awesome to watch.
Mm.
That's it, boys.
Beautiful.
Done for the hot takes. Done for the hot takes.
Yeah, done with the hot takes. Yeah, I think we're done in general, aren't we?
So, Superbikes, Misano.
Misano and Le Mans 24-hour. I'm so excited.
Oh, Le Mans going to be good.
10 p.m. Saturday on Stan Sport if you're interested in watching.
Okay, I was going to ask.
I got to sign up for Stan now, CBF, but what is it? Whatever.
Cool.
Get him a sponsor.
30-day free trial for Stan as well. So if you want to sign up, you just got to pay for the sports section. Use Motorsport Republic as a code.
Rossi BMW, how's he going to go, you reckon?
He's going to win.
Oh, that'd be cool.
He's going to win.
I hope so.
Must be a hard gig, though, driving those GT cars, because you're just getting out of the way for those... I don't even know what they call them now. The hypercars, is it these days?
Yeah, and there's 23 hypercars this year.
Is there 23? I remember there was a year there was like six.
There was like two the one year. There were two. Toyota had two. No, three. Yeah, three. That was it. It was just a battle of the Toyotas.
That's wild.
They were in some bad... Like, it was really got bad there for a while because it was amazing with Peugeot and Audi over the years, the battle, and then just no one wanted to be in it.
Yeah.
And then, boom, COVID happened. Everyone started spending money on cars. Then all the manufacturers got all this money and we're back to it. They changed the rules.
Yeah, so. It's like a bit of a glory day now of endurance racing.
And it's not like they are based off factory cars to a certain... Like, they look unbelievable, but they're not just production like LMP1 anymore. Yeah. It's hypercar, so it is a lot better because they look...
It's more cost effective.
And the Ferrari in the race looks similar to a Ferrari production car to a certain extent. It still looks unbelievably different, but like
they still look like a sweet endurance car though.
Yeah, yeah. There's a really good balance. It
could be the
really
best looking car actually race car. That Ferrari
that does look good.
Hypercar is immaculate.
And there's Cadillac this year. There's Porsche.
Is the NASCAR back in it?
No, I don't think so. That's coming back. Well done. Was that was
last year.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, that was last year.
Yeah. And shout out to Gizzy, Shane Van Gisbergen.
Yeah, on the trot.
He won second weekend in a row, the second NASCAR series, Xfinity series. So, and then Will Brown and Cam Waters didn't do too well in the Cup series this morning. I had a watch of it. Will Brown was third fastest in practice, first time ever in the car, which is unbelievable. I think he finished 30th or something along the lines of that, and Cam Waters crashed or blown engine or something. So it's so weird seeing those NASCAR race around like a normal circuit.
So everyone's leaving V8s is what it looks like.
Oh, it tastes the money, bro. What do you expect?
I don't blame them, though.
Yeah, I know. No, they've come out. Will Brown said come out and they said it's healthy, like it's good. We're like, I'm not going anywhere. I just want to, you know, dip my feet in there, but...
Yeah, cool. Why wouldn't you?
Here we go.
Suss it out.
All right, fellas, let's go eat.
Let's go. I'm starving.
See yous.
See ya.
See yous.